It is good to be back. I'm glad to be feeling better. And today, I want to talk about being the church. But before we start, I have a joke I want to share. We have a congregational meeting coming up afterwards, and I thought this went right along well with it. The elders met to discuss the compensation of a pastor and for this coming year. And after the meeting, one of the elders went up to the pastor and says, "This is what we can pay you." And the pastor said, he looked at him and said, "Sir, that's not enough. I'm going to need more money. I am a poor minister." And he said, "I know. We hear you every Sunday." That being said, I want to start my sermon off to you this morning. I want to talk about something particularly pertinent. And you all know it. This world's broken. This world is broken. You look on the news in the past couple weeks, our government can't say our babies are babies. They cannot call them babies. I have my kids come home from school and they talk about this thing called Momo, which is an app that tries to get kids to hurt or kill themselves. Because they heard about it on the school bus. My second grade son and my kindergarten daughter are hearing about this on a school bus. And the people are so sinister, they stick it on places like YouTube. Put it in the middle of a cartoon. Peppa Pig will be playing, and 5 minutes in, here comes this weird woman on the screen telling them to do crazy things. We live in a world where people hurt each other just because of their political parties, because they don't like it. This world is broken. This world is absolutely broken. And as we know, we are as well. We're all broken. But there's a difference in the church and in the rest of the world. We know who can fix us and we're willing to submit to Him. But that's the problem. A lot of people know how they can be healed. But they don't want it because they like to be broken. They like that. But as a church, it's more important than ever that we, as broken people, share Jesus with the world full of broken people. To steal the line from the title of the song from Casting Crowns, "Broken Together." As a church, we must work to share Jesus one broken person at a time. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go to the Capitol next week and we're going to talk about a bunch of things and we're going to change everything and it's going to be all right. What I am saying is we start, as we walk out that door, one person at a time, changing hearts. We must do this as a body, together. Speaking of the body, Paul wrote about the body, which is going to be the central part of my talk this morning. in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to talk about the body this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 12, and we're going to read through verse 20. First Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, and it says these words, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Paul is writing here that the church is made up of many people that can serve in many different ways. There are things that I can do, that I can do well. And there are other things, frankly, that you wouldn't want me touching. Because that's not how I was made. That is not how I can serve well. But we all are that way. We all have different talents and can work together as the church to serve as one body. Which leads to my first point. We all have different tasks for one ultimate goal. If we're to share Jesus with the world as a church, then we must work together. We must be willing to work in complementary roles. Paul wrote earlier in 1 Corinthians 3 how we all have different parts to play. He puts it in 1 Corinthians 3. Let me share what it says with you. "What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants to whom you have come to believe? As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will each be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." We are all called as a church to help the broken, the lost. But we can't do that if we're not willing to work together. Remember, we all have parts to play for the common goal. Look back at verses 8 and 9 there at what Paul wrote. "For the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's building, God's field, God's building." We work together, just as Apollos and Paul work together. We work together. This isn't the Church of Robert. I never want it to be called the Church of Robert or the Church of, name a person. Who was that? Rick. Okay, this isn't the Church of Rick or the Church of anybody else. This is a church that's God's. And we all play a part. We all have a different part, a different role. Some of us are ears, some are eyes, some are feet, some are hands. Some are the lungs. We all work together. We all are needed to work as the body. Let's continue on in chapter 12. I want to drop down and read the end of the chapter, starting in verse 28. And it says this, "And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, with those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts." Do we all do the same thing? No. What should we strive for? To use our gift. We all have different gifts. Strive to use your gifts. Strive to use your gifts. Whether it's big or small, it's important. But we all have a role to play. There are different jobs in the church that need done. Debbie, would you put the next slide up, please? Ephesians 4:16 says, "For him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." You think about that there. Let me say it again. "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." We grow in love. We support each other. We do this because we love God and we love the lost. We love the broken. We do this because we care. So we are willing to submit on the basis of our faith. We are willing to submit to God. So when we say, "Ooh, no, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or I don't have time for that, or I'm not willing to do this," what are we saying? Because remember, it's not about us. It's about how we serve our God and how we love Him. Debbie, if you'll put the next point on. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Use it to serve one another. Which leads to my second point this morning. Leads to my second point this morning. As a church body, we pick each other up. As a church body, we are to pick each other up. Paul continued to say in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to turn back there, I want to start reading in verse 21 and read down through 26. "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our present parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." If one part suffers, we all suffer. We all should have equal concern for each other. As a church, we should be picking each other up when we fall. And last week was a great example. When I fell because of sickness, Ashley called Greg and Sam and said, "Hey, we have a problem. I'm down." Greg filled in. I was leading Sunday school. Butch took them all downstairs, took the group down, and you all had Sunday school. We called Dave, who's still recovering. And he was willing to lead the worship. The singers were willing to come in a little early and go over the different way we were doing the songs. The kids, wow, the kids. The kids were awesome. They did these for me. All sorts of cards. Here's Allie's. Pastor Dad. She said, "I couldn't think of what to write, so I just wrote Pastor Dad." Here's one, Brody Sharp. From Brody Sharp. "I hope you feel better." Signed, Brody Sharp. "Get well soon." Signed, Brody Sharp. "Hope to see you next week." Signed, Brody Sharp. "Have a nice day." Signed, Brody Sharp. "It did not feel the same without you here at church." Signed, Brody Sharp. Here's Gunners. "I hope you feel better. Get well soon. I hope you come back soon," with a big smiley face. Of course, the first time I read those, I was still pretty loopy. I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's great." And then that night when I actually really got out of bed and looked at him, he was "Pick you up. Pick me up." In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote these words: "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." We lift each other up. There are so many great examples of that in the Bible. You look back at Moses and Aaron. Remember when God told Moses to go back to Egypt and get his people out of there? And Moses said, "I can't talk." God knew he could talk. He knew he could talk. He just had no confidence in himself. And finally, God told Moses, "Go talk to Aaron. He'll help you." And so Moses did. Exodus chapter 4 says, "Moses told Aaron all the words the Lord with which he had sent him to speak, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped." Aaron picked him up. When Moses needed help, when Moses didn't have the confidence, Aaron came in and did what Moses felt like he couldn't do. We are to do the same. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 tell us, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Again, we do it out of love. We do it out of our love for God. As a church, we remain united under one goal: to serve God. We work to pick each other up. Finally, this morning, my third point, our foundation faith must be Jesus alone. Verse 27 of chapter 12 simply says this: "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We're the body of who? Christ. Jesus must be our foundation for all that we do. Back in 1 Corinthians 3, when we talked about Apollos doing part and Paul doing part, Paul goes on to write, "But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." It's just as important what we do as why are we doing it. Why do you serve God? The wrong answer is, well, that's just what I'm supposed to do. This is a question we need to ask individually and as a church. Why are we serving God? Why are we doing what we do? Our ultimate goal is to further the kingdom of God. Jesus said, as recorded in John chapter 12, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." We must follow Jesus, his actions, his words. As a church, we must be willing to submit to Jesus, because it's not our way. Our way isn't the best way. His way is. And we do everything out of love, because God loves us. But we must stand united as a church. And to do that, we must stand as Jesus as our foundation. Period. This world's broken. I can't say it enough. This world is broken. We are all broken, and that's why we need Jesus in our lives. This morning, I want to offer a time of invitation. We're broken. We need Him. We know that without Him, we won't have a hope of eternity. I asked somebody earlier this week, "Why do you need Jesus?" And she said, "Because I've sinned. Because I have made mistakes. Because I've done wrong." she's right. We have all sinned and made mistakes and done wrong. We've all fallen. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We need Jesus. This morning we offer a time of invitation. You can come forward and make Jesus your Savior, your Lord, and saying, my way isn't right. God's is. The world will say their way is right. Each one of them will say their way is right. That's not the case. There's only one way. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one way. We submit ourselves to God. We say, Jesus, you will be my Savior and my Lord. And we will repent, which means we stop living our way. And we start living God's way. We stop living like we're in charge because we're not. God is. Jesus is. And we're baptized into Him. We bury that old life. It's done. And we start new. A new life. You can do that today. And start living the rest of your life serving our wonderful Lord. Once you do that today, as we stand and sing a song of invitation, please stand.